It's so often that we talk about this and refer to Scripture when we're talking about dedication. We refer to Hannah and Samuel and all of that that took place with dedicating Samuel to the Lord. I like the song that children are a treasure from the Lord, and we do thank God for the treasures that He gives. I had slight thought of mentioning at the wedding yesterday that may all of Ben and Jennifer's problems be little ones, the ones that cry in the night. If that's the worst of your problems, it's not too bad so far anyway. But thank God for the treasures that He gives in these children that brought into our homes and into our lives. And Scripture tells us that they are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from God. And as a Christian parent, it's natural that you want your child to grow up to serve God. At least that's the way that it should be. And you dedicate your children to that end. You want to bring them to that point. We also realize that not only do we dedicate a child, but the parents have to bring themselves and present themselves first to God as a model of what He would have, and then dedicating the child. And so Ben and Emily have come to dedicate Elijah this morning. I want to call your attention again to a passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy. I want to reiterate it for us this morning, telling us, God's speaking to us, and He's speaking to us as parents, that we are to love God with all of our heart, that we are to love God with all of our soul, and that we are to love God with all of our might. That fully encompasses our lives. He said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." And so it's got to come out from within, this instruction and this habit of loving God. But then He goes on to say, "And thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them whenever thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Dr. Alan Brown said something a long time ago, and I've never gotten away from it. I think I've said it here before, that Satan will have our kids unless we do something to stop him. Scripture says that we are to teach them diligently, doing our best to diligently instruct them. There's no higher calling as a parent. Doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter what your life calling is. There's no higher calling in life than to be a parent teaching the child to love God. Proverbs gives us a number of nuggets about children and parents. And he said, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." Not sure why the proverb writer separated it like that. I would say that a foolish son brings grief to daddy as well. Either way, wise son brings joy to mom. The best things that Ben and Emily can do for Elijah is to teach him the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning of successful application in all that Elijah learns in his life. It depends upon that basis. The beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. And so the Bible, the church, would urge you and encourage you, Ben and Emily, to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being, and to teach Elijah to do the same. Instruct him to do the same. As you love God, as you love one another, you will model before Elijah that wonderful love for God, so that he too will want it for himself. Ben and Emily, by coming forward this morning before God and His people, you are declaring your desire to commit yourselves and to dedicate Elijah to the Lord. Is that correct? We cannot dedicate our little ones unless we are committed to the task of dedicating ourselves to it as well. So I have four questions for you this morning. Do you today recognize this child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon his life in the hope that he will belong wholly to God. Do you pledge as parents that with God's help, you will bring up Elijah in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God and the character of Christ and the joy of the Lord into his life? Do you promise, God helping you, to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace, Elijah will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of his sins and for the fulfillment of all his promises to him, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and obey his teachings? Thank God for grandparents. And so that Elijah may walk in the fullness of life that Christ offers, I give challenge to the grandparents as well. That you seek God's help. That you pray for and encourage Ben and Emily as they raise, train, teach Elijah in the fear of the Lord so that Elijah might come to know Christ early. It's a big challenge, but grandparents have a vital role in this for their children. And then church, we have a part. Not necessarily the four walls, but we as the Church of Jesus Christ, we play a big role in Elijah's life. He may not attend here every Sunday in the days ahead. But because of the roots that are here, we still have a great responsibility in his life. Whether it's a Sunday school teacher, a children's service leader, or a youth leader, or simply a part of the body of Christ, we have a big role to play. And so that we are faced once again with the commitment that is ours. So that Elijah can understand the claims of Christ and walk in and live according to his claims. That we vow by God's help to be faithful in our calling as members of the body of Christ to help to come alongside Ben and Emily, and be faithful to God to help teach and train Elijah in the ways of the Lord so that he might one day trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Making it easy. It's our responsibility. Making it easy for him to go to heaven and hard to slip into hell. If you accept this responsibility, please join me by saying amen. Amen. Daddy said he'd go for the mic, and sure enough. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, here we hold young Elijah in our arm. What a precious young man that's been brought into the home of Ben and Emily. I pray that you would give them wisdom and understanding. I pray that you would give them guidance. I pray, Father, that you would bless them with your presence and your help. Here's Elijah. We dedicate him to you today. Pray that you would touch his mind, guard it, build a hedge about it. Help him to think pure thoughts, to be remaining all of his life in service to Jesus Christ. Pray that you would touch his hands and help him as he lives his life to keep his hands clean right before you. Doing those things that are pleasing in your sight and serving others and serving Jesus. Pray, Father, that you would touch his feet. Bless them as they would take him where he would go. That you would help him to keep his feet clean and walking right with you. Guard his heart. We dedicate him to you today. We dedicate him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that he would soon learn to love you and to be faithful to you, to give his heart and life to Jesus Christ, to allow you to live daily within him. Bless this home. We pray in Jesus' name. touching Elijah to serve you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you as you train him and bring him up. Blessings, buddy. You did pretty good. Grandparents, thank you. Bless her with her, with his help this morning. When we think about kids, I always, or have a dedication, I always give a little bit of admonition, and it's a little difficult to give admonition in some instances because it makes it appear the speaker is setting himself up as the guru or something. And just want to remind you that I am fully aware that my children are not in yet. There's a lot that can yet take place, and I still must pray and seek God's face for my kids. I know that sometimes children move out of the house, they're adults, they establish a home, they walk faithfully with God, they're maybe involved with ministry and definitely involved with the church. Years later, things take place and a shift is taking place and a move in another direction is happening. I'm thinking of one individual that has preached in this pulpit that used to be a powerhouse for young people. And if I mention the name, most of you, if not all of you, would remember him being here before my time. But today his kids are far from God and he and his wife are split up. And from my understanding, he's living out of his vehicle. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. It's heartbreaking. We see and hear about children going astray. And I wish that I had a recipe for getting our children to adulthood as godly, mature Christians. I wish I had a recipe, a no-fail recipe. You know, one that you can do no matter. If you follow this recipe, there's just so many influences that affect children. Things of which we as parents might not even be aware. Far too often, though, the choices of adult children have direct consequences on their lives, too. They might have started out well as children, as adults, but through choices, influences, the cause and the effect of those choices and influences, they end up spiritually and emotionally in a pit. I have spent, I don't know how much time, long time meditating, pondering, brainstorming. Three different words that mean the same thing. Trying to come up with some kind of a solution. And probably more often, more recently than ever before. And I would have to admit that I'm not any closer to a firm answer or a solid no-fail recipe than I was before. But I do think that there are some things that we can consider. Let me share a couple of things that I think are worth considering. We as parents are to portray God in their lives or in the lives of our children. If you don't get anything else, write that down in your mind at least. We as parents are to portray God in the lives of our kids. They don't understand God except by their understanding of who we are. One aspect of that would be that if we really believe that God wants to guide us with His eye, that we are going to have to live close enough to see His eye, but in training our kids, we somehow don't always hold to the same standard. you know, counting to 10, timeouts, or any other style of rearing kids that gives them room to balk, sulk, or just simply argue with the commands of parents. I believe that it's defeating the God-given style of training, close enough to see His eye. That would indicate that if you're close enough to see His eye, that you're answering the command, you're responding to the voice quickly. Yes means yes with God, and no means no, and not tomorrow when He speaks today, or when I get the feeling to do more, or get the feeling like I want to follow that, or I want to listen to what He speaks to me. There's a lot of spiritual conflicts that are created or developed into storms because people delay in responding to the command of God. There's some people that have responded to the command and they've prayed at an altar of prayer. Maybe not this particular one, but they've prayed at an altar at some other church or a camp meeting or at the altar that is set up at the bedside at home. But because they've delayed in responding to the fullness of that call or that command, it has created problems and turmoil and storms. Storms. I think some people train their children that they can obey at their leisure. That it doesn't matter how quickly they respond, just as long as they respond at some time down the road, and it may have already affected others. It may have affected our worship. It may have affected it in the preaching. I wonder how many more people would have died running the Underground Railroad had they not had control of their children. There's examples that abound of situations that would have had completely different outcome, good and bad, or good or bad. Both sides could have been greatly affecting the outcome had the children been trained differently. It's only been 3 months ago that we had another dedication, and at that time I spoke on training up a child in the way that they should go, but we continue to need the admonition of Scripture and what it provides for us in the way of direction. And if we want to have our kids to have a biblically sound understanding of God's relationship with His children, then we must model that. Parents, we must model that relationship to them. That's what I mean when I say that we are to be God in their lives, that we are to represent God in their lives. They don't have any better picture of who God is except for by how we represent or we model that relationship to them. The second thing is we must model the relationship to our children of God with His children in relation to discipline and chastisement. How often do we read in Scripture that God chastens His Son whom He loves? And yet somehow along the line we think that chastisement doesn't mean that. Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him, chasteneth him many times." I wonder if Dad would have had a belt left if he'd have put a mark on it every time he whooped me. I wonder how long it would have lasted. Many, many times. Now, someone would say, well, it didn't help much. But then somebody else might say, it helped more than what we could know. Proverbs 10:13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Sounds cruel, an unusual punishment. It's proclaimed to be cruel and unusual punishment. It's out of line, it's out of order. And yet God's word seems to indicate that there's something to do with this chastisement. Now, the question may come up as to how early it begins. I'm going to suggest that the rod must be used early and often and intense, with intense love. There's something about the rod in the Old Testament. Proverbs gives us and indicates that it's a tool to correct. It's a tool of chastisement. And it's supposed to be used with vigor. It is supposed to be used to get attention. And so we commonly think, well, the rod is going to turn that kid away. I got bit by a dog delivering newspapers when I was a kid, and I was told later that the reason why that dog bit me was because the owner of the dog used the newspaper to whip him. That dog supposedly learned that newspaper was anti-friendly. I suppose that was good enough reasoning for the dog. But we humans are a little bit different in our reasoning than what an animal is. Even though commonly we will use animals as an example, how you can train a horse and how you can train mice and rats. You can train a dog. Sometimes dogs listen better. Well, I better not go there. But actually I find in God's word that the rod can be a source of comfort to the one that had previously experienced the wrath of the rod. You might disagree with me, so if you disagree with me, then let's turn over, at least in our mind, to a very well-known psalm, Psalm 23. Verse number 4, actually, it says that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, if you follow that through, I would put it into your mind this morning that that rod that comforts here is the same rod that God used for chastisement. Only now it's given as a help, it's given as a guide, it's no longer needed to be as a tool of chastisement, but now as a tool of comfort, knowing that as long as it's there, I'm okay. I'm walking right. It gives me comfort to know that his rod and his staff. Comfort. I didn't have perfect kids. I didn't raise perfect kids. I haven't even been even close to being a perfect dad. I've had adults try to tell me that my children were too young, that I was too hard. I've even offered to apologize to them now, but they don't seem to think that I should. You know, we have one shot at this. Parents, especially you young parents, you young wannabe parents, I trust that God will bless you with children. But seek the wisdom of God through His Word. If the book that you're reading on child rearing or training of children does not hold to the principles of the Bible, there's one thing to do with that book. Don't just put it on the shelf. Throw it out. Throw it out. if it is not teaching you to hold to the principles of the Bible, get rid of it. Don't put it on the yard sale table. Get rid of it. Throw it. Burn it. Well, I paid $50 for that. Well, $50 goes a long ways in the Institute of Child Rearing. If you're going the wrong direction, especially, you better get rid of it and count it as tuition. What do I do now, someone may say? I'm glad you asked, because here's what the answer is to that, and I'm pretty confident in this answer. I'm pretty sure that this is the right answer. What do you do now? The right answer to that question is prayerfully consider the recipe of God's Word. I had a teacher in college. She is what was classified, quote unquote, as an old maid. Never married. But she gave her life. Her entire life was surrounded by young people, giving her life to training and teaching young people. She had a lot of things to say to new moms and dads. The first thing that moms and dads faced when dealing with her instruction was, well, you don't have a clue. You never got married and never had any kids. Been there and done that. How many of you want to say amen? But the thing about it was, she wasn't going by books or experience. She was going strictly by the recipe of God's Word. Now, sometimes those kind of people can get carried away and preach things that aren't part of the recipe. So we must be careful. But I do believe that this individual could have helped a whole lot more of us had we listened to her instruction, simply because it modeled the Word of God. Young parents that are couples that want to be parents someday, model God before your children, which includes training them with the rod of correction and discipline, and begin early. And even in the midst of correction, even while that child is disappointing to you in the sense that they are not obeying immediately, that child must know that you love them, that you are not disappointed in them, that you are not holding it against them, that your love is real. Because that's the love of God. As I admonished Ben and Emily this morning, it's good for all of us. Love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, all of our strength. And if we model that, God help us to see our children safely into the kingdom. Praise God. Let's stand together this morning. Time gets away, I see. Hope your roast or your steak isn't burnt. Lord, bless you on this Lord's Day. We'll see you back again tonight. Let's come expecting. See what God has for us in this service this evening. Nathan Stainbrook, would you dismiss us in prayer?